I haven't put a timer on it like a turkey baster or anything, so I may still need some prompting. All right. So we've been getting some really neat messages about being grateful and being thankful and about praising and worshiping. Man, I just think that's so important. You know, we've got to fill ourselves up. The best way to do that is to give thanks back to the one who gives to us. It's just so great. And after Lisa spoke the other day, I started getting up in the morning, and sometimes I can get up in the morning looking a little bit like that. And I've started jumping in the shower and singing, and this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice, and I will be glad in it. It's a happy day, and I praise God for the weather. But it's amazing how suddenly it does change your day. I don't know about you, but I don't get through the day without God. And those days when I think I can, disaster. It's never a good thing. Cool. So great messages. And I know that those who speak up here, they really put their heart and soul into giving it up to God to give us the message. And I just pray that God speaks through me this morning. And I'm going to say a little quick prayer for us all. Thank you, Father God, for bringing us all here today. None of us are here because of anything other than you bringing us here, whether it's led by your Spirit or because it's what we do every Sunday. Thank you, Father God, for your Spirit being here. I pray that it would just flood this place, that it will flood this message, and that hearts and minds will be touched, Father God, by you. Thank you, Father. Open our hearts, our eyes, our minds to you and to your world. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Cool. So Pastor Robin asked me if I could do an evangelical message. So my first thought was, okay, the Great Commission. Get out there, make disciples of men, go. And then I sort of weighed that up with, okay, how many people when they hear that are going to go, okay, this is the uncomfortable place, I'm going to get up and go. I've just suddenly remembered I've got something on, something much more important than hearing about getting up and going and speaking to the nations. So I thought I would weigh it up a little bit between the Great Commission and what it actually means to get out there and be. So my message today is a light in the darkness. Oh, I like that picture. Thanks, guys. Really good. So it's not always easy to get out and talk about your faith. But I want to take you back to what are we grateful for? We're grateful because we've got God with us every day. We've got Jesus with us every day. And how do we get through the day? Just filled with him. How many people out there haven't? They haven't got that. So it's not easy to talk about our faith. But how else can we do it? And that's a little thing called shining our light in the darkness. So the light in the scripture it symbolises God, symbolises Jesus, faith, his glory, all those things, yeah? And light. Light is the thing that people are looking for in the darkness. So his word hasn't changed. Nothing in here has changed. There's been different versions, but you'd be surprised over how many... thousands, hundreds, and even thousands of years, this has been written over and over, but it stays the same. Even the different versions, they stay the same thing. They just make it, everybody's different, so different versions have, you know, fit with different people. God's good like that. He wants his message put across. So, yeah, so his word doesn't change. His promises in it don't change. His promises in it aren't for Gary and not for... who shall I pick? Rod? They're for everyone. Promises are for everyone. Whether we're sitting in this church building, or whether we're out and about, or whether it's the person down the street, or whether it's that person in prison who's done something that we find despicable, God's promises are for him too, or for her too, for everybody. The thing that has changed is us. We've changed. Society has changed. People's beliefs have changed. The world's a completely different place from when this was first written. And even from last century, when people went to church every Sunday. You know, they may not have been taking that stuff in, but it was being planted. It was going in. Not so great in those days when the Bible was being read out in Latin to everybody. Nobody spoke Latin. Not a great deal of use. We'll get onto that a little bit later. I don't know where that came from. You know what? I wrote a message, but I'm kind of the feeling that if God takes me elsewhere, we'll go there. Are we happy with that? Yeah? Okay, good. Just putting that out there right now. Okay, so I'm going to hit you with a few verses right now. We're going to throw up John 8:12, please. Jesus spoke to the people once more and he said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. How cool is that? So who is the light? Who is the light? Jesus! Well done, folks. It's up there. It's like it's an ABC, you know, multiple choice. There he is. Jesus said, I am the light. Okay, but there's a little trick in there, and it says, if you follow me, you won't have to walk in the darkness. If you follow me. That's a big deal. So you can choose not to follow him. What comes then? Darkness. Stay in the darkness or come into the light. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in the darkness because you will. Will is an I will. It is a promise. You will have the light that leads to life. Yeah? Light that leads to life, eternal life, yes. Life while we're here on earth, not a struggle, more life, yes, absolutely. Let's head on into John 1:5. I love this. Did I put that one through? Yeah. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Who's the light? Jesus. Good, you got that one. And the darkness? Old hairy legs, the devil. Badness, yeah? The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. So the devil's doing a pretty good job on this earth, and he's got everyone believing that everything's really terrible. It's all bad. Everything's bad. It's all dark. It's all bad. But the light is still shining. I love this verse. You know, when I first came back to the Lord, I went looking for a Bible, and I sat in Mana for down in Porirua for probably nearly 2 hours, poring over all the different versions. And I said to God, you're going to have to show me how to pick one. And this verse, I didn't even know what this verse was, jumped into my head. So I had a look at it and I was like, okay. So I went through all the different Bibles, had them all laid out. I don't know what the people at Mana thought. Probably thought it's time to go home, but anyway. And that's how I found the version that I like to read today. That verse, that 1:5, John 1:5, that one there, had an interesting moment. We went to see The Hobbit. I do love The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings. I love those. Got good story, good messages in them. Anyway, I don't know whether you've all seen it. You should have. If you haven't, go out right now. Not right now, afterwards, and get them out. So there's a part in The Hobbit, I think it's in The Desolation of Smaug, Smaug being the dragon, where Gandalf comes across the first time we see Sauron. Okay? So Gandalf comes up, and there's this dark, nasty voice that says, Wizard, there is no light. He didn't sound like that. He sounded much cooler. There is no light that can extinguish the darkness. Well, I was sort of a little bit confronted. We're sitting in the movie theaters, and I'm on the aisle, and I'm like, seriously, God? Is there something to that? What's going on? This is my verse. I don't understand. And he said, is there a light beside you? And I looked down, and sure enough, there's the aisle lights. And he said, just put your foot over it. So I put my foot over it. He says, what do you see? I said, darkness. He said, lift it. It's a light. Meanwhile, Gandalf has given it this on the screen. There's a big battle going on. There's darkness coming down, and Gandalf's holding it off with the light, and the darkness keeps hitting and bouncing off the light, keeps bouncing off, bouncing off. And I'm looking at my foot, so I've got a battle going on here, battle going on up there. I'm going, yeah, darkness, there's light under there, and I'm going to Rod, look, see, and he's no idea. What are you talking about? Go down, and you know what, there's another light further down. Check that one out as well. Cover them all up. You know what, light's still shining through. But what if I take the batteries out? What if those lights aren't there? Source is still there, Kathy. Ah, the source of light is still there, because the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness cannot extinguish it. Yeah. Lord of the Rings. Hey, this is a bit of an aside. So we like the Lord of the Rings and Hobbit. And every year in the wintertime, we will sit down and we'll watch them all over 2 weeks. So it's quite a marathon. So we were sitting at the table the other night and we decided we would, who do you think you're like in the Lord of the Rings and the Hobbit? So Kaelin, he's a man of Gondor, apparently. He's a man of Gondor. Kaelin, we thought he was probably a mix of those really naughty hobbits, you know, Merry and Pippin. Yeah, that, Livy. Rod, he was, we decided, the head of the Orcs, you know. Looks like meat's back on the menu, boys. And they thought I was like Gimli. I don't know. Gimli the angry dwarf. There may be some truth to that. Yeah. It's the beard. So let's go with another one. John 1. This follows that last verse, 6 to 9. So this is after that last verse. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light, Jesus, so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. So the world was in a pretty dark place then. Pretty dark now, it's pretty dark then. He was coming. I love that. All right, I'm going to hit you with one more. Matthew. Turn the page. Matthew 5, 14 to 16. This is a goodie. This is the crux of the story, all right? This is Jesus speaking. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. A few key points there. Jesus is the light. Again, we keep establishing that in case everyone forgets it. It's given to you. Christ is given to you. His light is given to you. Why? So that you don't hide it. Don't keep it to yourself. Mama never taught you, share. Go share. Don't hide those good things. Why do we share it? In the same way. Oh, that was good timing, girls. Good timing. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. Why do we let it shine? So that God will be glorified, not us. Yeah. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Remember that song? Good song. Good song. There's also a song, I don't know if you remember it, and I'm going to apologize to the worship team right now. It goes, a sunbeam, a sunbeam, Jesus wants me as a sunbeam. Does anyone remember that? Yeah. I came home, I was doing something in the kitchen one day. Did you like that? I'll audition. Happy to get up and audition for you later, all right? So I was in the kitchen one day, and Josiah was about 5 at the time, and I could hear him. He'd put on a CD of all his little Christian songs, and he was singing this one, and he was singing, a zombie, Jesus wants me as a zombie. So I had to quickly explain, no, not a zombie. Not so much. And then I started thinking about zombies, because that's the way my brain works. And I was thinking how zombies have changed. Do you remember when they first came out, the sort of 40s and 50s movies, even earlier than that, the black and white ones, and they were all like this? You know, and they'd get to a door and they'd go, there's the 1940s, 50s, even earlier zombies. And then you've got the ones that are out now, and they just... And nothing stops them. They go through walls. They go through windows. They just trash and destroy, and they devour everyone in front of them. No reason. They just do, because that's what those zombies do. Gee, I don't know whether that's evolution or devolution. Anyway, I was thinking, you know what? Jesus don't want us for zombies. He doesn't want 1940s, 50s zombies Christians. Oh. Oh. A hurdle, Lord. He also don't want these days Christian zombies. Hi, everyone. Hi. Praise the Lord and give thanks. And then I'm going to go off and do my own thing now and eat somebody else and eat somebody else and devour everything in my path. That sounds a bit harsh, eh? Those zombies don't stop and take time with anyone. They just want to rush through, knock everyone off. Ticket, ticket. Jesus wants sunbeams, not zombies. That may not have been in my message. Okay. Maybe it was a message for someone. Just saying. Okay, so why do we shine? Why do we want to shine? Huh? Glorify God. Yeah, good, good. Any other reasons? Brownie points. Yep. Save souls. Bring it, increase the body of Christ. Yep, eternal life. All good things. Good things, eh? That's what we want for everyone, is it not? But how about another reason? How about to answer God's call? Ah, see, Livy's been doing her homework. To answer God's call to love on a really hurting world. Yeah, it's broken. So we can all wait and go to heaven. That's going to be good. But do you want to do life without God? Well, there's a whole pile of people out there who are, day after day. Yeah, so we want God's love to impact on people now. We want to give people options other than what they're seeing. So I'm going to throw up there 2 Corinthians 1, 3 to 4. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father, the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. Ooh. When they are troubled, we'll be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. Anyone here not been comforted by God? Come and see me later, pray for you. But if you have been comforted by God, take that comfort, pass it on. Man, that's a gift too good not to share. It's way too good not to share. How do you get through the day if you can't get through with Him? Yeah? Do we love God enough? Do we love people enough to shine a light on who God is? Yeah, it's a big call. I know it's not easy. It's really not easy. For some people, it's a doddle. Speaking their message, it's a doddle. Others, not so much. But everybody's got a part to play. Yeah. I saw a really interesting message from a guy. Do you know Penn and Teller, the magicians in Vegas? Well, there are. And what the big guy, Penn, big beard, he's quite a well-known atheist. So he was talking and he was saying after a show, one night, there was they sign autographs and there was a guy standing to one side and he was quite reserved. And he thought, he caught his eye, so he went over and spoke to him. And the guy gave him a little Gideon Bible. The guy's an atheist. He said, I think he knew I was an atheist, but you know what? I give that guy kudos. He was polite. He was kind. He was gracious. He didn't just flatter me. He spoke his truth. And he said, and I really believe that if somebody has a true belief in something, they should be speaking about it. It's from an atheist. Got called out by an atheist, guys. Yeah? He said, if you believe in heaven and hell, and you're sure that people are going to go to hell if they don't accept Jesus, why are you not out there telling the world? Is it that important? That's a big deal, eh? Firefighters, most respected profession, if you look at the doodahs, who's the most respected and looked up to of all the professions? Firefighters. Why? They throw their life on the line to rescue. Yeah? Next page. So what do we see in the world today? Depression, suicide, mental health issues. Yeah? Huge suicide problem in this country. That sounds weird. You know, there's a lot of people ending their life in this country. We've got neglect of children, abuse of children, spouses, elderly folk. We've got violence. We've got murder. We've got anger, sickness and addiction, loneliness, and isolation. Social media got a lot to say about social media and isolation. There ain't been so many people in this world who have felt more isolated than since Facebook came across. It was meant for good. It's isolated people. People are lonely. They've got hundreds of friends, but they haven't got anybody they can turn to. Helplessness, hopelessness, and a lack of self-worth. Like I said before, things haven't changed in that people are still longing. They're still wanting to find what their purpose is. What's their thing? You know, what is it? Why are they here? So what does the world offer in response to those things? What's Satan's idea of a fix for these things? I know what, alcohol and drugs. That'll do it. That'll fix it. That's not going to affect depression, mental health, suicide. Kitty's born with physical and intellectual disabilities because of it. Anger, frustration, opinions. I'm offended. Celebrate my diversity. All that stuff. Is that a fix? No. Are we fixed now? We celebrate. Nobody, by the way, celebrates a woman in her 40 female. Why? Nobody celebrates my diversity, so I'd like you all to give me a clap. Oh dear. What does that lead to? Yeah? It just makes more of the same stuff over and over. So here's what we've done, come to next. New Age religion. Let's take out the hard parts. Let's take away a lot of the fundamentals in here and let's give them a little bit of a tweak for today's society. You know, we don't always have to follow Jesus as long as we believe in God. I've heard that. If I do really good things, God will save me. New Age thinking. Yeah. Gangs. Something very close to my heart. We've got gangs that are just growing in number in this country. Huge. Getting bigger and bigger. There's lots of reasons why people join gangs. We won't get into that. Lots of different reasons. One of the reasons is just that sense of belonging. You know what? What are we doing as a church? And when I say a church, I mean the whole church. What are we doing? We're going, oh, bloody gang members, drug users. Bloody this and that. That was language. My apologies. I was being the world. Sorry. That was... See, I need the light. But we do. What are we doing? What are we doing that these other things are the answer for people? We've got the only answer. It's in us. It's ours to give. God wants us to give it out. He's got plenty to give, yeah? Got plenty to give. So we come here on a Sunday. This is like our pit stop. Pull in. Fill up, yeah? Fill up with some praise and worship, some message, some prayer. Fill up. Get back on the road, go out there, and run the race. Yeah? This place is for us to fill up so that we can go out there. Monday through Saturday. Do we have to? No? You want to? I hope so. Yeah? So how do we be the light? And how does it tie into evangelism? Okay, so we know we can go out and spread the word, the good word. But there's a lot of emphasis put on reaping, right? Bringing the saving the soul. Lots of emphasis on that. I want you to imagine a great big field. Man's just bought it. I'm going to say man. That's not anything meant to offend any females in the room. Man's bought it. He's hired his chief of staff. That was for Rod's benefit. Thank you, Rod. Hired him, and he said, I've got this piece of land, and by the end of next year, I want to reap a harvest of, pick a fruit. Okay, good on you. Peaches. All right. I don't know what grows fast. What grows fast? Weeds. Corn. Not weeds. I don't know where I heard that. Okay, so what does chief of staff do? He goes, right, I'm going to employ the right people. I need the right people to work this land because at the moment it's gorse. It's not looking good. So we're going to get the right people in to clear the land. Clear the land. And then we're going to get a team in to tend that soil, make it tender, get it nice and loose. We're going to call on God, give us some sun, give us some rain. We need that every time. Every time we stop for a new thing, God, rain, sun. Then we're going to get some people to plant seeds. Yeah, plant seeds. Next group of people, they're going to come and they're going to tend those seeds. Yeah, they're going to tend them. They're going to see shoots. And if they don't look after those shoots, chief of staff's going to knock them out. No, he's not going to knock them out. He's going to say, hey, look after these. These are important. So we've got a team of people watching, tending, start to rise up, start to come up. We need to prune. We need to make sure that there's separation from things that are going to harm them. Yeah, get out the weeds. Make sure there's no, do chickens eat? I don't know. Yep. bugs, check for bug spray, get all those nasty bugs out. Then come the time when there's a harvest to be done, hey, we might not even call in those same people. Tell you what, we've got some overseas workers coming over. Bunch of hippies with backpacks. They're going to put the corn up for us. And that's okay. It's a whole team. It's not just the people who reap the harvest at the end. It's all those people who have that job along the way. And that job may be as simple as to encourage somebody who's looking like they've had a really poo day. You know? Just a poo day. I think we've all had some people that have spoken into our lives like that at some point. So the tending stage, how do we do it? We just be. So I talked about all those things, all those places where people are at. They're in some pretty dire spaces. People are overwhelmed. They may not look it. Some of them do. They're overwhelmed. Dr. Ravi Zacharias is a really good little, I don't know, saying, not a saying. This is what he said. Take the back door to people's hearts because the front door is heavily guarded. Yeah. So it might not be the time to go up to somebody who's looking like, holy rollers, what a day. Might not be the time to rock up and say, let me tell you about Jesus, he can change this for you. That might not be the time. It might just be the time to say, do you need a coffee? So finding the space. Those of you who did God space with us last year, you'll remember that. It's finding a space, finding your space, and getting alongside people so that they have the opportunity to take it at their pace. Because you know what? It's not our timing. Whose timing is it? The Lord's. It's his timing. Yeah. So you've got to earn the respect of people to be able to talk like that. So running around like a zombie, either way, not the way to do it. So just be. Number one, be wise. Colossians 4:5. Let's bung that up there. Live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Yeah, live wisely. That can mean all sorts of things, eh? That can mean not swearing when you're up on stage at church. I'm a lot better than I used to be. Most times. It just mean don't be so holy, you know, just be you. What is it when Christians are talking to people and somebody asks them about God? We heard this from this comedian, Michael Jr., if you haven't seen him, turn him on. And he goes, what's with all these creepy Christians? He's talking to them all of a sudden, somebody asks them about God and they change their voice. We do that. Don't do that. Just be you. Talk in language that makes sense. If you're coming across somebody who's never seen, never heard the message about God, you need to be washed in the blood of Christ. I think I won't. Thank you. That sounds a little uncomfortable. I don't want to do that. You know, pick your words. Be human. Just be you. Be the you that God made you to be. You may be timid. That's okay. You're the person who can smile and go, geez, that top's awesome. Yeah? You could be verbose. I'm not always like this, okay? But it's where they are at, not where you are at. So sometimes we're fizzing because we've got that fire inside and we're fizzing, and that's when we need to stop and pray, Lord, give me wisdom and let me only use the words that you give me. I have an example of that this week. Darcy, you said you had a week. I had a week too. Oh, I had a week. And days 1, 2, 3, I literally came out. I felt like I had been beaten to a pulp. I was asking co-workers to look for things sticking out of my back. I was checking for bruises, and man, it was a big week. And I knew I had a big meeting on Thursday morning. Wednesday night, I had an anaphylactic shock. So that's an allergic episode where I end up looking like a cross between Quasimodo and Mick Jagger. It's pretty intimidating. Throat closes up, yada yada. So I had one of them, and usually it takes me 2 or 3 days to get over one of those. But I was determined. So I knew I had this meeting at 08:30. I went in there and I said, God, I don't even know what to say. I don't know what to say, but something needs to happen. in this meeting. Otherwise, your plan is not going to succeed because, well, in this area, you've called me to do a job. I'm here to do that job. I don't even know how to do that job, but I'm doing it every day. And I want this thing to go through to the right people because it's going to change the way things happen in this country. And I said to God, I don't even know, anyway, that was pretty much my prayer. So I sat in this meeting, all these people, and they're all talking, they're all very passionate, they all want to see something good happen, but I just know that that's not the way to do it. I just know, not because I know, but because I've been given this thing inside me. And so I sat there, and they talked, and they did this, and finally this man goes, Kathy, what do you think? And I just said two sentences. I said, I've already started this work, and it's up there on the grid. That was all I said. That was it. Now, normally I'm not usually that quiet in a meeting, and I put it down to the fact that I didn't like that. That was intimidating to start with. Those people didn't know what they were facing in that meeting. You're asking that woman for, she's like Quasimodo, you're asking your opinion. That was all I said. Then they carried on talking. And somebody said, why don't we do such and such? Kathy, what do you think? I said, well, I've already started that and it's up there on the grid. That's all I said. That's all I could say. And somebody else went, that's all we need to do. Okay, right. That'll be that then. Everybody picked up their pads and papers and walked out. That was all I said. That was all God led me to say. Because normally I talk like I'm talking now, on and on and on and on and on. I don't even know where we got to with that. Be wise. Colossians. Number two, believe. No point shining your light if you don't believe, yeah? So if you don't believe that you've got something to tell the world, I need you to go back home, have a little prayer with Jesus and say, Jesus, help me to believe. Let's throw up there 1 Peter 3:15. Yeah. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Now, I want to take you back up to that second sentence. Always be prepared to give an answer. That Thursday morning, I wasn't prepared to give any answers for anything. I was incoherent. But my preparedness was just praying to God, Lord, I haven't got any words that are going to make any sense to these people. Prepare the words for me. I'll open my mouth. You let them fall out. That's how you can be prepared. You don't need your story on back catalogue. Can if you want. Everyone's got a story. Got a story, but maybe somebody will let me share that another day. Maybe. Okay, I haven't got this one up here, but 2 Peter 3:9, which says, the Lord isn't really being slow about his promise to return, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to perish. So he is giving more time for everyone. So we need to believe that. We need to believe. We don't need to be crazy zombie Christian and not have time with people. Most exercise I've done all day. It's his timing, not your timing. Okay? So it might just be that nice word to somebody who's either looking down or not looking down, because I tell you what, you can look like that and feel like that underneath, yeah? Okay? So just be assured that God's got a plan. He wants everyone saved. Not just us sitting in here. Everyone. Number three, be safe. James 1:19. I'm going to meditate on this week. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. I I know where you sleep and I make your meals. That's all I'm saying. All right. Why do I put that up there and be safe? You need to be safe for the people that you're talking to, not be safe from them. You be safe. You know, that means you be a safe harbour, caught in a storm. Yeah. People will have questions. That's okay. Every time, prayerfully. Lord, what do you want me to say to this person? Tell them they've got nice shoes. You got nice shoes? That might be all they need. Yeah? Oh, this is another one I haven't got there, but we're going to do it anyway. Matthew 7, 1 to 6. Oh. This is Jesus speaking. Stop judging others. You won't be judged. But others will treat you as you treat them. Whatever measure you use in judging others, it'll be used to measure how you are judged. I want every person walking through this door to feel loved because they are. Not because we're putting on some facade. And I think as a church, we're really good at that. We don't care who walks in the door. And I can tell you we're going to have some people walking in this door. They're not always going to be so well put together, and that's okay. Because you know what? None of us were well put together in some places in our life as well, okay? All right. Why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? Yeah? I hear people putting some sins against others. Sin's a word we need to work on because it's got a different meaning these days in the world. There's some things that people do that we get more angry about than others. That's not right. Your little speck and their little speck in their eye may be a great big old log in yours, right? Don't judge. How can you think of saying, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye? Lord, help me to be patient. When you can't see past the log in your own eye. Hypocrite. Ooh, this is Jesus. Not meek and mild here. Hypocrite. First get rid of that log from your own eye, then perhaps you'll see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. Okay? Don't judge, basically. Be safe. That's what I'm saying. Number four, be free. Matthew 10, 17 to 20. I think I've got that one up there. But beware, for you will be handed over. Now, let me come back to this. But beware, for you will be handed over to the courts and you will be flogged with whips in the synagogues. Okay, I'll come back to that. You will stand trial before governors and kings because you are my followers. But this will be your opportunity to tell the rulers and other unbelievers about me. Is there more to that? There's more to that, eh? Next bit is, maybe not up there. Oh, yeah. When you are arrested, don't worry about how to respond or what to say. God will give you the right words at the right time. But it's not you who will be speaking. It will be the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Okay, I left that first bit in there because not because I'm casting aspersions about whether you're going to jail or not, or whether you're facing trial for anything, but just because every time we step out in faith for God, the devil's got his henchmen out there trying to knock you down because he doesn't like it. He knows the light is the only way for people to get through life. He knows that. So when I read that, I thought, you know what, when you're arrested, you know, it's when people pull you up, when those people who don't want to hear your message or they don't want others to hear your message, don't worry about it. Pray on it. God will give you the right words. I like your shoes. But what about this God and this? I like your shoes. Is that all you've got for me? I like his shoes. You know, we don't know what the message is going to be that God gives us to give. But do it in prayer because he knows your heart. He knows that you only want to pass on his truth in life. He knows that we want other people to live the life of freedom that we have. People are trying to take control of their own lives. They go to these meetings and they sit and they be mindful and they connect with their inner thing. I don't even know what it is. But they try and take control. And I think Fergus was saying, could have been Fergus, could have been Tom, Pastor Fergus, and they said, you know, the only time they feel really in control is when they're completely out of control. They give up control to God, and we have to do that on a daily basis, and it's really hard. It's really hard. But see, the world is saying, and Satan's getting that message out there so good, you need to look after yourself. Look after you, look after that inner person, you need to be in control. What does that do to somebody who can't keep that control and all of a sudden they're useless and hopeless, worthless, I don't even know what my purpose is, what's the point? That's all I have to say. Be. Just be. Be who God made you to be. He made you unique, made you awesome. Every one of you, every person out there, the person in our prison system, everybody is made special for God. Special, because he loves them. He loves you. He loves them. He loves them. Get it in your heart. God loves his people. Nobody born on this earth today was a mistake. Everybody has a purpose. So just be. Be wise. Speak wisely. Believe. Trust. Trust that your message and God's message is true. Be safe. Look out for those that you're speaking with. Not for you to take care because you're worried about them, but they may be worried about you. And be free. Just be free to speak God's word, however that might be. God's word, as I say, could be, I like your shoes, because they might be at that part in their spiritual journey. Nobody cares about me. Nobody even sees me. Gee, good shoes. They might be at the part where they are ready to be reaped. Don't then just go, have a good day. Yeah, not enough. Too much too soon, not enough too late. We've got some opportunities coming up. We've got a family service next week. Be brave. Take some of those little pamphlets. Give them to some people. I asked people here today. Nobody turned up. Just saying. Happens. We've got family barbecue and fireworks. Bring people along. It's going to be fun. Take some women to the women's conference. Yeah. Father's Day. Give your dad or somebody else's dad a chance to come in and hear how great God is. Right, I'm going to wrap up there because I've run over by 12 minutes and 17 seconds. So I'd just like everyone to close their eyes right now if they can. Close your eyes. Put your head down. Look, I just want to give an opportunity for anyone who doesn't know that light. If you don't know who that light is, or maybe that light, somebody's pulled the batteries out. Let me tell you, that source is still there. If you once knew that light and you don't know that light anymore, or it's fading, or if you don't know that light at all and you're wondering, what is that woman talking about? You keep your head down and you just pop your hand up now. I'll see it. Nobody else will see it. Pop your hand up. See you there. Thank you, Father. Any more hands? You don't have to put your hand up. You can come see me later. Come see me later. Well, I'm going to pray. Perhaps you can all pray with me. Father God, dear Jesus, Holy Spirit, Lord, you are our light. You are the safe harbor when we're in the storm. We love you. Father God, I want to give myself up to you. I know that Jesus is the only way. I know that I can only come through your gates. Oh, that was my mumble. Through Jesus. So, Father, I confess that I've done some wrong stuff. But I know you love me. And I give myself to you. I feel it in my heart. And I'm confessing it with my words. And Lord, your word says that if I believe in my heart and I confess with my words that Jesus Christ, you are Lord, I am a new man / woman, and I am now part of your family, and no darkness can touch me, and I have now the light that shines from within, to light the world. And I thank you, Father, that on this day I am yours. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Man, praise you, God. Now, if anyone has said that for the first time or would like some other prayer,